We begin in El Paso, Texas, where last night there were dueling pro-wall and anti-wall rallies. El Paso is a city of about 600,000 people that sits across the border from Juarez, Mexico, which is by far the larger of the two sister cities with 1.2 million citizens. Our partners with The Takeaway captured some of those voices.
El Paso, thank you very much.
And at last, here I am on the hill overlooking El Paso. I can see Rosa's Cantina below.
Walls save lives. Walls save tremendous numbers of lives.
Walls do not save lives. Walls end lives.
Murders, 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 killings, murders.
We saw in El Paso, where there was high traffic of illegal crossings, we built a wall and the crossings plummeted.
El Paso has been the safest city in the United States of America, safe long before a wall was built here. In fact, a little less safe after that wall was built.
Plans for a smart, strategic, see-through steel barrier or wall. Let's go to wall.
Stop the human traffickers, stop the drug traffickers, and build the wall.
We want to build it fast.
We stand for America, and we stand against walls.
Because walls are not immoral, as it was said.
We are a city of immigrants.
They said that progress is being made with this committee. Just so you know, we're building the wall anyway.
That was some of what was heard at both President Trump's rally at the El Paso County Coliseum and former Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke's march that took him past the Coliseum to his own outdoor venue last night. Julian Aguilar is a reporter for the Texas Tribune, and he joins us now via Skype. He is in El Paso and can give us a sense of what the evening was like. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. So I want to start with a little bit about El Paso and about the mood there. What was it like in the city leading up to this and during these rallies last night?
Well, the real anticipation began with the State of the Union last week, where President Trump mentioned El Paso and San Diego, as specifically El Paso, as being a hotbed of violent crime before the wall was constructed in 2008. And that construction was mandated by the 2006 Secure Fence Act passed under former President George W. Bush. But what a lot of local and state representatives said, you know, wait a minute, let's look at statistics here. Let's look at violent crime rates. Let's look at FBI statistics, El Paso Police Department statistics. And it actually showed that El Paso was considered one of the safest cities of its size well before construction began. And like the clip y'all just played with Congressman O'Rourke saying that after the wall was constructed, the wall, it's actually a fence. It's a tall fence that you could see through it. It's similar to what's, you know, in the Rio Grande Valley and other places in New Mexico and along the border. It there was actually a little uptick in violent crime after it was constructed. So for the president to make the correlation on violent crime, it's, a lot of people took issue with that. And what some local lawmakers have pointed to was the fact that with respect to immigration and unauthorized illegal crossings, that actually had a more significant drop from 1993 to 1994, and that's when the Border Patrol, under former Congressman Silver Reyes, who was the Secretary Chief at the time, began Operation Hold the Line. And I think that's what people aren't really talking about, and the fact that El Paso was able to accomplish this with 650 Border Patrol agents in the sector. So it plays into the Democrats' hands as about, you know, more boots on the ground, more technology, no barriers. But the president being the president, he doubled down last night. You know, it was a throwback to 2016. You know, the media is horrible. He still brought up Hillary Clinton. He brought up the Democrats. He brought up no collusion. And he made promises about immigration the same way he did 3 years ago that a lot of people would say that he has achieved somewhat, but not completely reached that hallmark that he promised the American people he would 3 years ago.
Julian, there were some dueling reports of crowd estimates at each of these rallies last night. Is there any sense of whether or not they were equally attended?
Well, there is, and you're right. It's hard. I'm sure as journalists, we all agree that, you know, just eyeballing the crowd size without official statistics is pretty difficult. But what the president said is, you know, early on, he thanked the fire department for being able to get 10,000 people into the county coliseum. The El Paso Times immediately reached out to the fire marshal, and they said, no, that's not true. It's capacity. It was capacity, to the president's credit. He did have a packed house, but it was about 6,500. Mm-hmm. No telling how many were they were outside. There was probably 3,000 or 4,000 more, according to reports. And then NBC and Bloomberg have also reported that former Congressman O'Rourke had between 7,000 and 12,000. Again, it was an outdoor venue. There's a march. You know, I'm not sure if they were counting crowd size when the march began versus when it ended, which is a little bit more difficult because it wasn't a venue where, you know, there's actually a limit. But I'd say they were pretty even. And talking to some of the former Congressman supporters, I think they were a little dismayed at the fact that the president could sell out the County Coliseum because he, you know, he got maybe 25% of the vote here when he ran for president.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that, about where El Paso sort of sits on the political spectrum. It's sort of a blue sea in the middle of a red state, right?
It is, and it's indicative of what happens on a lot of the Texas-Mexico border. You know, Laredo is also, they also vote Democratic. Congressman Henry Cuellar has been reelected several times there. Down in the valley, closer to the Gulf, you know, they have Hispanic Democrats being elected to Congress, being elected to the state representatives. So it is, it's more socially moderate than, say, Austin, which is, you know, being called the blueberry and the tomato soup. But it is a Democratic stronghold. And our mayor was a former Republican state rep, and he's still a Republican, but he's also pushed back on the president's claims, and the president called him out for that last night as well in so many words.
So real quickly before we let you go, I want to ask just about the mood and about how it feels to be in El Paso right now, given the national attention that now it's the center of this wall debate, which has been the subject of the shutdown and so much political drama in Washington, D.C.
I think former Congressman O'Rourke's run for U.S. Senate put a lot of focus on the city, and people are proud of that. And a lot of people there's sort of a resurgence of pride that I didn't see when I was growing up here and went to high school in the mid 90s. But since I've been back, you definitely see that more. And there's a lot more solidarity with the folks in Juarez. Not that that didn't always exist, but it seems more profound now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people were anxious leading up to this visit because of what they expected the president might say about El Paso, about the Sun City. But on the flip side, there are a lot of people that are Republican, that are very proud to be Republican, that voted for President Trump in 2016, and they flew their flags as well. So it was not equally divided. Obviously, this is still a Democratic stronghold, but I think you really saw the sort of the dynamics of El Paso, which is not only a border city, but it's also home to Fort Bliss, one of the largest military bases. And there's a lot of old school folks who have been here for generations. So it's definitely brought out exactly what a melting pot El Paso is.
All right. That is Julian Aguilar, reporter with the Texas Tribune. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.